Today's tech news moves fast, but understanding it shouldn't be hard. That's why Snarful Solutions Group brings you Connecting the Dots, where we break down what's happening in tech and why it matters to you. Now, let's dive in with your hosts.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm Alex.
And I'm Morgan. Great to be with you today.
We are coming to you live on Tuesday, November 11th, 2025. A beautiful, crisp autumn day here in Sacramento. Quick look at the markets before we dive in. Dow and NASDAQ seem to be holding steady. A bit of green. Bitcoin's hovering around, well, its usual unpredictable self. Generally, things look calm.
Which is good, because today we're shifting focus slightly.
That's right. It is, of course, Veterans Day, a day for reflection. And while we usually track the minute-by-minute tech news, today feels like the right time to explore something, well, deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at how service, technology, and innovation are really woven together. This isn't just about, you know, battlefield gadgets. We're talking about the entire modern veteran experience, how tech shapes everything from service to coming home to healthcare and even how we remember.
Exactly. It's a whole ecosystem. We're going to explore that today. But first, let's thank one of our key supporters. Today's show is brought to you by Old Glory. You know them, the iconic music and sports fan merch store. Seriously, if you're already thinking about holiday shopping, maybe getting a head start.
Good idea.
Old Glory has fantastic, officially licensed gear. If you've got tech fans, music lovers, sports nuts in your life, it's a perfect spot for gifts. Great stuff.
And we've got that promo code for you.
Yep. Use the promo code SNARFUL. That's SNARFUL at checkout. And you'll get 15% off your entire purchase. Check them out at oldglory.com.
Okay, so let's dig into this connection between Veterans Day and technology. It's a really important intersection in today's world.
It really is. And maybe we start with the basics. Just a reminder, today honors all U.S. veterans with a special focus on the living. It started as Armistice Day, marking the end of World War I, 11th hour, 11th day, 11th month, 1918.
But the veteran we honor today, well, they're operating in a vastly different world than that WWI soldier.
That's the core insight, isn't it? The modern service member isn't just carrying a rifle. They are a highly trained technical operator.
Absolutely. It's easy to miss the level of technical skill involved now. We're talking complex systems.
Yeah, forget simple analog tasks.
Oh, completely. Think cybersecurity, AI-driven tools, robotics like unmanned systems, autonomous logistics. Exactly. And complex data and communication networks, tactical ground systems, satellite comms. They need proficiency across the board.
All under immense pressure, too.
Intense pressure. They're managing these integrated networks, dealing with end-to-end data encryption. The military is, in effect, one of the most high-stakes tech training grounds on the planet.
And that training has direct, real-world applications after service.
It does. Take Caleb Flem. He's a great example. An Army vet.
Okay.
He was a cryptologic linguist. Focused on signals intelligence, SIGINT. So yes, he learned Arabic and Russian, but the core technical job was signals analysis, secure data management.
Skills that translate directly.
Directly. He didn't just land a job. He became a senior manager of cybersecurity architecture in the civilian world. That military experience was essentially a four-year intensive course in cutting-edge security tech.
So the big takeaway here seems pretty clear. The veteran community is this incredible pool of talent, pre-vetted, security cleared, disciplined.
And highly technically skilled.
But, and this seems like a big but, getting that talent recognized can be tough, right? That whole translation problem with military jargon.
Oh, it's a huge hurdle. You've got military resumes filled with MOS codes, MOCs, these internal job titles.
Things a civilian hiring manager or an automated system just won't understand.
Exactly. A system searching for, say, operations supply chain manager might completely miss a fantastic candidate whose resume says logistics officer, even if the skills are a perfect match.
People tried to fix this with databases like Onnit Online.
Yeah, they started there, but those are mostly just static lists like a basic crosswalk. Helpful, but limited.
So is AI really the decoder ring we need here? Is it making a difference?
It seems to be, yeah. It's proving pretty revolutionary because it shifts the focus. Instead of just matching job titles, it looks at skills.
Okay. How does that work in practice?
Well, platforms like Bridge My Return use these skills-first algorithms. They can look past the specific military title and identify the core transferable capabilities, leadership, technical maintenance skills, managing budgets, you name it.
So the AI understands that logistics officer involve supply chain management.
Precisely. And what's really interesting is that AI can sometimes identify and articulate skills the veteran might not even realize they should highlight for a civilian job.
And there's a big initiative around this launching right now, timed for Veterans Day, from OpenAI.
Yes, this is potentially massive. OpenAI is offering one free year of GPT-4, their top model, to all transitioning service members and veterans.
Wow, 1 year free. That's significant.
It really is. It basically democratizes high-level transition support overnight. No need to wait for appointments or pay for expensive consultants.
And the practical uses are just enormous, I imagine.
Think about it. You've got a 247 expert advisor in your pocket. You can feed it your military performance reviews, those reports full of jargon.
Yeah, the ones no one outside the military understands.
Right. And the AI can help rewrite those accomplishments into clear corporate language. You can practice mock interviews tailored to specific industries.
And maybe even get help with navigating the VA. That paperwork can be dense.
Exactly. Get plain language explanations of complex benefits and forms anytime, day or night. That alone could reduce so much stress.
Which helps explain why the tech industry is so keen on hiring veterans. It's not just, you know, patriotism or good PR. It's smart business.
It absolutely is. High ROI. Companies recognize they're getting incredibly valuable talent, often with built-in soft skills, leadership, integrity, resilience that you just can't teach quickly.
Plus the hard tech skills we talked about.
Right. So you potentially reduce training costs. You see lower turnover because veterans often show higher retention rates. It's a strategic advantage.
And that's driving these big corporate pipelines we hear about. Microsoft has one.
Yep. The Microsoft Software and Systems Academy, MSSA. It's a, 17-week training program? And it comes with a guaranteed interview at Microsoft or one of their hiring partners.
That guarantee is huge. Google's involved too.
Google runs Spielbridge Fellowships. They're focusing particularly on developing generative AI leaders from the veteran community.
And we should probably explain Spielbridge itself quickly.
Good point. The DoD Spielbridge program is key here. It lets service members do internships or training with civilian companies during their last 6 months of active duty, still getting paid by the military.
So it's like a try before you buy for the company.
And a smoother transition, a warm landing for the service member.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Amazon, specifically AWS, uses this model too. They have a paid military apprenticeship training plus a full year of on-the-job experience.
So the major pathway.
It is. And connecting this back, for many veterans, especially those going into the defense tech sector, it's more than just a job. It offers a renewed purpose.
Continuing the mission, in a way.
Exactly. That continuity can be a powerful psychological support, helping combat that sense of isolation or loss of mission that, unfortunately, can contribute to mental health struggles during the transition phase.
That need for support, for continuity?
Yeah.
That leads us directly into healthcare, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And how technology is transforming the VA.
It really is. The VA has made a massive shift towards being a technology-first organization. They talk about a digital front door to care.
What does that look like practically?
It means tools like the MyHealthVet portal veterans can manage prescriptions online, send secure messages to their care teams, access records.
So asynchronous communication. Very convenient.
Very. And then there's the VA Video Connect app for live video appointments with their doctors or therapists. This is absolutely crucial for veterans in rural areas or those with mobility issues.
Okay, but the digital divide is real, right? What if a veteran doesn't have reliable internet or even a device like a smartphone or tablet? How is video telehealth equal access then?
That's the critical question, and the VA has actually been quite proactive here. They view digital inclusion as part of healthcare delivery.
Meaning
they provide VA-loaned devices, internet-connected tablets to eligible veterans who don't have their own means of access.
They actually give them tabs.
For those who qualify, yes. And here's the really innovative part. They struck agreements with the major mobile carriers, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon.
Okay.
Using the VA Video Connect app does not count against a veteran's mobile data plan.
Wow. So even if you have a limited data plan, you can still attend your telehealth appointments without worrying about extra charges or running out of data.
Exactly. It makes the service truly accessible. That's a huge commitment to equity.
That really is profound. And all this digital interaction, all this data,
right.
It feeds into something massive, right? MHS Genesis.
MHS Genesis. It's the unified electronic health record system for both the Department of Defense and the VA.
Unified, so one record follows you from active duty right into veteran status.
That's the goal. One single integrated health record for something like 9.5 million beneficiaries. No more lost paper files, no more repeating your medical history endlessly.
The immediate benefit is clear, better continuity of care, but the long-term potential
is enormous. You're creating one of the largest, most detailed longitudinal health data sets in the world. Decades of health information, all linked.
And that kind of data set is basically rocket fuel for AI in medicine.
Absolutely. We're already seeing AI used for predictive analytics, especially focusing on veteran suicide prevention, which is still such a critical issue.
How does AI help there?
It analyzes patterns in that vast data set, appointment history, prescriptions, clinical notes, potentially thousands of factors to identify veterans who might be at high risk before they reach a crisis point.
Allowing for proactive outreach.
Exactly. Targeted support when it's needed most. They're even exploring things like emotion AI, analyzing verse patterns on the veterans crisis line.
Which is 988, then press 1.
Right. Analyzing subtle vocal cues for signs of acute distress to help the human responders better gauge the situation. It's cutting-edge stuff.
And technology isn't just analyzing data. It's becoming a therapeutic tool itself, especially for things like PTSD, where maybe traditional talk therapy hasn't worked or faces stigma.
Yes, virtual reality exposure therapy, or VRET. The VA's BraveMind program is a leader here.
How does that work, putting on VR goggles?
Pretty much. They use over 1,200 VR headsets across the VA. A therapist guides the veteran through a controlled, simulated environment that resembles the source of their trauma.
Facing the memory in a safe space.
Exactly. It's about confronting those memories in a controlled way, gradually desensitizing the automatic fear response. The goal is helping veterans regain control of those memories rather than being controlled by them.
That's powerful. And for physical injuries, the tech is almost science fiction sometimes.
It really is. Think about advanced prosthetics. The Luke arm, which came out of DARPA research, is incredible. It's neurally controlled.
Meaning it responds to thought.
Essentially, yes. It translates nerve signals into complex, dexterous movements. It's about restoring function as naturally as possible.
And it's not just the high-end research. Everyday consumer tech is playing a role, too.
Definitely. The VA's assistive technology program now provides what they call electronic aids to daily living, or EADLs.
Which sounds technical, but
it's basically smart home tech. Voice assistants like Alexa or Google Home, smart lights, automated thermostats. Things that can dramatically increase independence for veterans with limited mobility, using readily available consumer tech for clinical benefit.
Restoring autonomy through simple things like turning on a light with your voice.
Yeah.
That's incredibly meaningful. Okay. Let's bring this full circle. Technology is also changing how we remember, how we observe Veterans Day itself.
Yeah, it's democratizing remembrance, in a way, making it more accessible.
How so?
Well, take Honor Everywhere 360. It's an initiative that uses VR headsets to bring the experience of visiting war memorials in Washington, D.C., the World War II Memorial, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, etc., directly to the bedside of aging or terminally ill veterans who can no longer travel.
So they can still experience those tributes.
Exactly. It ensures they aren't excluded from that national experience of remembrance due to physical limitations.
And preserving individual stories, too.
Yes. The Library of Congress's Veterans History Project is crucial here. They're not just collecting artifacts, they're digitally archiving audio and video, oral histories, personal letters, diaries.
Capturing the human voice, the individual experience.
Precisely. Preserving not just the service record, but the person and their unique story for future generations. It makes history personal and permanent.
And connecting this back to the tech industry we cover every day. Even their Veterans Day activities are part of this tech ecosystem, aren't they?
They really are. When big tech companies run blog posts highlighting their veteran employees or launch social media campaigns, it's partly genuine appreciation, sure, but it's also strategic employer branding.
How did that work?
By showcasing their commitment to veterans and promoting their V2T, veteran to tech hiring programs, they're actively recruiting the next generation of tech-savvy service members who are thinking about transition. It fuels the pipeline all over again.
So it's a continuous loop. Honoring veterans reinforces the programs that hire them, which brings more tech talent in.
Exactly. A self-reinforcing cycle where honoring service and driving innovation go hand in hand.
It is a remarkable cycle. Before we get to our final thoughts, let's quickly thank another great sponsor. We also want to thank Skoni, that's S-K-O-N-I, pronounced Skoni, the premium golf shoe store, for supporting today's show. If you're a golfer or shopping for one, you should definitely check out their high-quality performance footwear.
Really sharp-looking shoes, too.
they are. And you can use our promo code SNARFUL again, S-N-A-R-F-U-L, at checkout for 15% off your entire purchase. You can find them at SCONI.com.
Okay, so wrapping this all up. Today, Veterans Day, it's more than just a day off or parades. It really highlights this ongoing interplay between service, sacrifice, and technological advancement.
Right. Technology isn't just part of the veteran story. It enables their career transitions. It's the platform for their health care. It's even the medium for preserving their legacy.
It's completely interwoven through the entire life cycle now.
So the final thought for you, our listeners, might be this. Honoring veterans isn't solely about remembrance. It's also about continued action and investment in the systems that support them.
That point about the VA providing devices and covering data charges for telehealth, that shows a fundamental understanding that digital access is healthcare access now.
Exactly. So maybe the provocative thought is that continued robust investment in these integrated digital systems for transition support, for healthcare like MHS Genesis, for assistive tech, isn't just government spending. It's a reflection of national values, and it yields tangible benefits, both human and economic, far into the future.
Absolutely. Just think about the medical insights we'll gain from analyzing that MHS Genesis data over the next 20, 30 years. It could revolutionize public health for everyone.
Powerful stuff indeed. A lot to reflect on this November 11th. Thank you for joining us for this special focus on connecting the dots.
We hope it gave you some new perspectives.
We're here to help at Snarful, so reach out on our website if you have any more questions.
That's a wrap on today's top stories. Remember, tech doesn't have to be complicated, and we're here to help connect the dots. If you've got questions or want to learn more, visit us at snarful.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.